I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Why would anyone, well, we hope in their right mind, leave the protected, rarefied world of academia to go into nursing, which is all about, well, according to one critic, blood, guts, and death? Our next guest has done just that. She is Nurse Teresa Brown, author of Critical Care, A New Nurse Faces Death, Life, and Everything in Between. Well, that just about covers it. And you, Nurse Brown, write powerfully and honestly about your experiences during your first year as an oncology, a cancer nurse, and your reasons for leaving a job as a professor of English to pursue this colorful second career. First of all, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why did you bail out of a secure job in academia to go into nursing?
Yeah, this is so funny. I call that the million-dollar question.
Well, let's hope the book makes $1 million, but in the meantime...
Well, right. And in fact, someone said to me once, oh, so did you hate having the summers off? And then I wondered if, wow, did I really make a stupid mistake? But the truth is that, although I love thinking and writing and teaching, I had my kids and found part of my personality that was really much more about caring about people and being with people in these intense situations as one has little babies in the house. And I fell in love with what I call the mess of life.
Yeah. It do get messy. Let me ask you a provocative question here. Now that you have gone from being a civilian to a highly paid, honored and cherished medical professional as a nurse.
Exactly, right.
How do you feel about the way nurses are portrayed on television?
Nurses are usually portrayed so badly and stupidly on television, to be
honest. Well, let's see. They're typically portrayed as handmaidens to doctors.
Right.
A tasty, provocatively dressed morsel waiting to be consumed. And as a mindless robot. Yes, doctor. Yes, doctor. Yes, doctor.
Yes, all of these. Or the thing I really don't like is that usually on medical shows, the doctors actually do all the nurses' work.
Right. So, like running lines, for example.
Right, like starting lines or checking IV pumps or sitting with people in the middle of the night when they're upset and feeling terrible. I mean, there are probably some doctors who've done that, but what I see is that is nurses, because we are the ones in the hospital and awake at 2 in the morning if someone's having a problem then.
Your mission in life is to make life wonderful for your patients, but patients learn everything they need to know or think they know about nurses from watching television. How do you re-educate folks? And this is going to segue into our discussion about the Affordable Care Act and health literacy. How do you train patients to not only trust you, but also to understand what you do?
Well, Chris, that's why I write for the New York Times. I feel like that is my mission, is to educate the public about what nurses really do than all the nonsense we do and don't do on TV. But also, what I really want nurses to do is to talk about what we do to everyone they know. I think a lot of nurses just aren't good at that. They aren't good at really telling the truth about what we do and how important we are, because they think no one cares.
Well, that's it. As we often say on the radio, in absence of the truth, some truth in terms of reality versus perception is going to prevail. And that's one of the real issues about the Affordable Care Act, and I realize this is part of our discussion today. The patient is the missing person in the Affordable Care Act. How do we train people to be effective, efficient, and really interested consumers of health services? How do you do that?
That's an excellent question, and I really...
Well, it's not only an excellent question, it's the only question.
Right. Well, I mean, I really supported the Affordable Care Act because what I see is there are definitely situations where people can choose, you know, where do I want to get my knee replacement done, or what's this medication? But what I am focused on is when people who are healthy suddenly become very, very sick, and then they can't choose, or they're in a terrible car accident and they can't choose. They just need the system to make them better. So people have to understand there's really these two different kinds of situations.
There's another situation, too. People can choose their doctors, as you say, an orthopedist for a hip or knee replacement or total hip arthroplasty or knee arthroplasty. But generally, they don't choose their nurse. The nurse arrives and this is it, or you're it.
That's true. And then that's on schools of nursing and hospitals to have every nurse work at a certain very high standard. And as a profession, we all have to fight to do that. And one thing I also really like about the Affordable Care Act is that it does have all these incentives to try and push healthcare to be more about let's put value where it really helps the patient. And unfortunately, it's an extremely complicated bill, and so it's, you know, not always working out that way. But that's part of the idea behind it. Let's put healthcare back to being about the patient instead of about drug companies or device manufacturers or hospital executives who make millions of dollars a year. And, you know, the patient is where we all need to be looking.
Our guest is Teresa Brown, a nurse, author of the wonderful book Critical Care, A New Nurse Faces Death, Life, and Everything in Between. Bottom line, how can people be a more effective patient? Besides, here, I'll answer the question for you, because I know the answer. They need to, they need to be more proactive. They need to be more assertive and nod and say, I'm very sorry, doctor or nurse, as the case may be. I really don't understand that. Can you explain that to me? Or better yet, not better yet, it would also be helpful to bring a friend along or record the conversation or do a video, something, so you have a point of reference.
Yes, having a friend there or a family member can be extremely helpful, because often people, especially when they get a terrible diagnosis, they only hear a quarter of what is actually said to them. They may completely understand how sick they are or how good the odds are that they will get completely better. And asking questions, like you just said, is a great place to start. And, you know, if there's a way to make that human connection, to say, I'm scared and I'm just not hearing you, can you explain?
That's a fabulous line. I'm scared. I cannot hear what you're saying, because after you said those provocative words, you have cancer, my brain dropped into my shoe.
Right. Right.
Our guest is Teresa Brown, Nurse Teresa Brown, author of Critical Care, A New Nurse Faces Death, Life, and Everything in Between. You can read her provocative columns in the New York Times. Where can people learn more about your work? Perhaps a URL.
Yes, my website. Very easy to find, teresabrownrn.com.
Well, it's not easy to find, Teresa, unless you spell it.
Oh, okay. Well, that would help then. Teresa Brown, R-N, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, Brown, B-R-O-W-N-R-N, all one word, .com.
And I'm Christopher Springman, all one word. Thank you very much, Teresa Brown, for joining us today on Radio MD. That's RadioMD.com. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
I actually take my own advice on occasion. I'm getting better at this. It takes a while. Actually, you know, we have a no jargon policy and a no acronym policy. So if you say, well, the patient presented with DCIS, I will put on the brakes and say, whoa, let's stop for a second. What is DCIS? Ductal carcinoma in situ. And what is that? Let's break it apart into little pieces. And generally, the first time I whack someone across the face with that idea, they get the message.
No, that's great. Just that is such a great break on people.
Well, you got the message.
Yeah.
Have I been yelling at you?
Have you been yelling at me?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, good.